Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. You may stand up. When Adam and Eve brought sin into the world, God came up with a perfect plan. And His plan was to give His only Son, that whoever believes in Him has eternal life. Amen. Please be seated. A basketball team is playing a very, very exciting game. There are 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. One team is down by 1 point. At that time, one of the coaches that is behind calls a timeout. Each coach then discusses their plan with their team. The plan to win the game. The players are looking intently at their coach, and they come up and they share with them a plan that will win it. The players are hushed. They are quiet. They listen intently because they want to get every word that the coach is giving them. The coach may use a dry erase board to draw an outline of the plan to win. The hushed players nod as the coach talks, and he tells the players what has to be done to win the game. Winning the game is left up to the players and how well they execute the play that the coach has given them to win the game. The fans, the players, and the coach wait expectantly to see if the coach's plan will get them a team victory. Wish I could tell you more about the story, folks, but it's all fiction, just made up. In Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, we read how God created the world and everything in it. We read how God created Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. We read how God caused Adam to go into a very deep sleep. And then God took a rib from Adam and made Adam a helpmate. Adam called his helpmate, his wife, called her Eve. Life was good. Life was easy. And Adam and Eve walked in the garden. They walked with God. They could speak to God. Life was great. Until we get to Genesis chapter 3, which was our Old Testament lesson for tonight. The chapter details the temptation and fall of humanity and Adam and Eve's expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Satan, taking on the form of a serpent, is the greatest deceiver, the greatest liar that has ever lived. When God is there, He brings the plan to salvation. He brings the plan up and He tells them that what they should do to stay away from that forbidden tree. I bet Eve walked by that tree every day wondering, wow, I wonder what it would taste like. After all, Genesis 3 does tell us that the fruit of the tree looked good to the eye. When Satan tempted Eve and Eve bit the fruit, mankind and God suffered a great deal. When God created the tree that Adam and Eve were called to stay away from, God did so in order that Adam and Eve would have freedom of choice. Free will, which is necessary. It's a necessary part of God's love. God wanted Adam and Eve to obey Him because they loved Him. When God created mankind, He knew mankind would eventually fall into sin. Yet, in spite of that, God created us. And when His perfect creation chose the path of disobedience instead of love, God was really not caught by surprise. The serpent was cursed not because of taking direct part, but rather as a constant reminder to all people that he would lose all of his feet and that Satan had used him as an instrument of his fall and the final destruction of Satan himself. As a result of Eve's disobedience, God gave a punishment. God said, I will intensify your labor pains. You will bear children with painful, excruciating effort. Your desire will be for your husband, yet he will rule over you. Eve was deceived. Sometimes we can go through life oblivious as to what is happening around us. Even Eve knew better than to do what Satan enticed her to do. There are times when we can be deceived. Be deceived by what other people tell us. God held Eve accountable, but he did not curse her for all of eternity. As likewise, we also need to be alert in life, and we cannot allow ourselves to be deceived by the deceptions of Satan. But we have to know that the Satan will always come, and he will always try to deceive us. Peter wrote this warning to us about Satan. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And then to Adam, God said, because you have listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, do not eat from it. The ground is cursed because of you. You will eat from it by means of painful labor all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. You will eat bread by the sweat of your brow until you return to the ground, since you were taken from it. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Adam's life was no longer going to be easy. Adam's disobedience brought physical and eternal death for the human race. And now sin infects every human being. People choose not to listen to God, and they choose to listen to Satan. The temptation to use God's name in vain comes to us when we hear other family members or friends using God's name in vain. We don't want to be any different, and so we go along with using God's name in vain. Or again, we choose not to keep the Sabbath day holy. Oh, we may go to church on Sunday, but you know what? The mind just wanders off while God's word is being preached. Or we may be unhappy when we go to church instead of missing church like our friends and neighbors. Many times we believe that we are keeping the commandment that forbids us to murder. However, Jesus calls us to remember that whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Or we disobey God, not only by our actions, but also by our words and in our thoughts. Satan comes, and just like Eve found the forbidden fruit tempting, we too give in to Satan's temptations, and oftentimes we think it's no big deal. Satan comes and he tempts our minds into believing that we are better than other people because we go to church or we live a very good life. But today, God calls you to really look into your life, really to look deep into your heart and look at your life. And you know what you will find? You will find sin in thought, word, and deeds. When we do not help our brother or sister in need, we sin. And the worst part of all, we cannot free ourselves from sin. I know I have tried it. I tried to go an hour without sinning. You know what? Didn't take very long. Did not take an hour. And I quickly came to the conclusion, I can't do it. I can't do it. An evil thought, an evil word came across my mind. And you see, without our God and Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no hope of eternal life. We would be lost for all of eternity. But God came up with a plan. And because of the grace of God, God has this plan. In Genesis 3:15, God says, I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. This prophecy clearly looks forward to the time when Satan would be completely crushed under the feet of the woman's triumphant seed, that being Jesus Christ himself. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, God was committed enough to saving his disobedient children so that he, all on his own, with a love that passes all human understanding, still promised to send them a Savior. And it was a promise that God remained to keep, no matter what. When God gave the children of Israel freedom from slavery in Egypt, they quickly forgot his care. God's commitment to save them was repeated again. When God gave his people the land that he had promised, they repeatedly turned away from him into idolatry and thanklessness. God's commitment to them continued. When his people called for a king to rule over them, God did not walk away. When his children adulterously followed every other god other than the true God, God remained faithful. You see, God was committed to preserving his promise that he gave to Adam and Eve of sending a Savior, and that Savior would come into this world and crush the head of Satan. God loves us. Stand with the shepherds of Bethlehem and hear the angel announce God's good news of great joy. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. Go with the shepherds. Look in the manger. See your Savior. Jesus came to fulfill God's promise of sending a Savior. Before Jesus was even born, he knew the price that he would pay to keep his Father's promise of salvation. Even so, Jesus kept God's commitment to save us as he fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies which identified him as a Savior. Even though he knew what would happen, Jesus remained committed, and the blind received their sight, and the lame were able to walk, and lepers were cleansed of leprosy. The deaf were able to hear again. The dead were raised up, and the poor had the good news preached to them. Jesus knew the cost of commitment, but he was not deterred with saving those who would hurt him, who would avoid him, who would say that Jesus was possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons he casts out demons. He would not be deterred by those who would betray him with a kiss and deny him with an oath. Jesus continued to reach out to save the person who put the crown of thorns on his head. He remained committed to the person who spat into his face and the crowd which called for his crucifixion. He knew, in spite of all that, he remained committed to crushing the head of Satan. Look to the cross. Look to the cross and hear his cry of commitment and compassion. Hear him speak to all those who were gathered around him, as well as us who are gathered in the church. His commitment can be stated in three words: Father, forgive them. So that you might be forgiven is why Christ was born. So that you might be saved, Jesus lived his life. So that you might be washed of your sins, he suffered and he died. So that you might be sure, beyond any doubt, beyond any question, that God's commitment has been completed in Christ's sacrifice. He did what even the most compassionate human being cannot do. He rose from the dead. In that moment, when the tomb was empty and Christ came out, the world was given the promise that all who live and believe in Jesus Christ will never die eternally. Because of Christ's life, suffering, death, and resurrection, I offer Christ's commitment of forgiveness and eternal future, which is not given you because you deserve it, or because you are so worthy, or because you're so wealthy, or even because you're so wonderful. God's love and forgiveness is yours because of Christ's commitment on the cross. He died so that you might live. He sends us His Holy Spirit with the Father's call to repent and believe in Him as your Savior. A snake biting a person on the heel is sometimes not deadly. However, when the head of a serpent is crushed, the snake is dead. The prophecy that God gave to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden clearly looks forward to the time when Satan will be completely crushed beneath the feet of the woman's triumphant seed, being Jesus Christ. Tonight, look at the cross of Jesus. Satan thought that the cross was the end of Jesus, but Jesus rose from the grave. The head of Satan has been crushed. Satan no longer has any power over a child of God. And we know that someday we also will die like our Savior did. But we know, because Jesus promised us, that on the last day our bodies will rise from the grave to be with Jesus and triumph over Satan, to triumph over death, and to triumph over the grave. To God be all glory, honor, and praise, now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.